that is missing in our churches and people's lives and different things, and that is the presence and the power of God. The presence and the power of God. We have got so accustomed, as Israelites did when they came out of Egypt's land, we got so accustomed to doing the mannerisms or doing what we were told to do, which is right and which is good. You ought to be in church. That's good. That's fine. But why would we go alone? Okay, why would we go alone? Now, I said to the Sunday school class this morning, it's hard to comprehend. In fact, our minds cannot grasp the fact. There's no way in the world we can grasp this fact that when you get born again, the Spirit of God comes to indwell your redeemed humanity. In other words, He comes into your life. I made this statement years ago in Gloria's parents, her mother and her daddy's funeral, and I said that they are more alive today than they've ever been in their entire existence. Okay, so you can say what you want to. You can think you're alive, but you have sicknesses. Somebody's always got something wrong with them, our eyes, our ears, our nose, whatever. There's always something wrong with us. And so this is not the life that God intended, and it was not God that brought us to this place. Sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men. And so we need to realize that God has not left us alone to accomplish what He's told us to do. Let me assuredly tell you that you cannot live verbatim this Bible according to what it says in your own flesh. You can't do it. There's no possibility that you can do everything God tells you to do. Somebody will say, well, I'm keeping the Ten Commandments. No, you're not. No, you're not. You're lying right there. You cannot keep the Ten Commandments. Well, what was the Ten Commandments given for? They were holy, they were righteous, they were good, and all of that. They were our schoolmaster to bring us to God. It was for us to realize our old nature and the way we live and the capabilities of our old nature. You cannot do what it said. So God indwelt the believer with, and we talked about last week, the books that's written about Jesus Christ. Well, he was 33 years old, okay? He had confined himself to a body. He walked on this earth. He healed people. He did all those things like this. But the Bible says, Brother Pruitt, that the whole world couldn't hold the books written about him. That's what it says. Now, does that mean totally, completely, that the whole world could not contain the books written about the Lord Jesus Christ? Because he's talking about what you saw in him, okay? Our examples come from him. No, what he was talking about was not only the books of wrath of the Lord Jesus Christ, not taken away from, adding to, nothing to what the Scripture says. But what happens is when you get born again, you get Christ in you, the hope of glory. Amen. So Christ's work in your life is exasperated, adding to the books that are written that the earth couldn't contain. So there's a book about you. Ms. Becca was telling me she's writing a book about some of her experiences in life. She's writing this book. And that's good. That's a blessing. But the key is we need to realize that God is going to write a book, a biography of your life. That's what He's going to do. He's going to write that. That's one of the books. And so when we realize that God in you can accomplish any of the feats that the Lord Jesus accomplished, when we say we can't do something, Brother Bobby addressed that a while ago. He said, I'd help Brother Billy. I can't leave singing. Oh, yeah? Is that right? Really? Is that what you're saying? Well, you can in Christ. Now, if you're going to be one of these, you know, Brother Bobby does this. He does the arm thing. I can't do the arm thing. I mean, I do the best I can what I got. Amen. But I know that has to do with the way that you keep people together on it and all that. I understand all of that. And you say, well, if that's true, then you can do a good job, Brother Bill. I can. Now, I said before, years ago, I said I could play the piano. We didn't have a pianist. I said, I can play the piano. I don't know if y'all can sing to it or not, but I can play the piano. Amen? A six-year-old kid can play the piano, but I don't know if we can sing to it. The key is that we need to realize that we can do anything in Christ. Anything. The power of God is on our life through the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, we have a situation here in these texts I'm going to read to you where Moses is kind of frustrated, and he's frustrated with the people of God. He can't get them to do nothing right, and so on and so forth. So he's in this situation, and so he takes his case to God. He literally talked to God. God talked to Moses just like they were friends. That's what the Bible says. He communed with him. Moses was buried by God. I mean, that's what the Bible says. So here there's a special relationship. Now, let me say this. We have the same relationship. As a born-again believer, you have the same relationship that Moses had with God even though theirs too was physical and ours is not. Ours is spiritual. But it's still, the relationship's the same, okay? So instead of doing things that we do and letting him be the tail on the dog, we need to let him be the nose on the dog, and we'll get to the right place at the right time. And we'll accomplish what he wants to accomplish. How many of us can say that we've had certain circumstances in our life that just seemed to happen, and where you got to testify about the grace of God? It just didn't seem to happen. You might have had to go through hard times, difficult times, all this stuff like this. But the principle of the testimony is still the same. It's either Christ in you, the hope of glory, or you have no hope. Amen. Somebody said, well, I got me a big house over so-and-so. I don't care. Earthquake come along, swallow the whole thing. Amen. I mean, come on, man. I came home from Okinawa in 1964, and we had on a little We had a little old short sleeve shirts, and all this. We flew into Alaska, and they were talking about how we had to dump our bags out, and they had to go. We were coming home for the last time, so I'd dump our bags out and everything like this. We didn't realize that they just had that earthquake, and the plane is landing, and we're looking out the window, and you could see great big old cracks about this wide right off the edge of the runway, and you couldn't see the bottom of them, but they were about this wide. And they were not the same. You know, one was higher than the other and all. And I thought, dear God, what are you doing to us? So we get in. It's about 30 degrees. They had put up temporary things out of plyboard. And they had to go through all of our bags. We had to stand around there shaking like freeze to death in there, that situation. So you don't know what's on tomorrow. I don't know what's on tomorrow. This was in 64. And so we need to realize that we need to operate under the power and the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, and I said that about them. I was kidding them a while ago when they came in. That's a blessed thing. You know, some of the biggest fights you have is on Sunday. You want to know why? What would the devil love more than to cause consent in the church? I mean, if he's done that, he's won. Okay? And I told the boys one time, they were getting ready to sing, and they got in an argument over something. They got up there and had a bad spirit and bad attitude. I said, well, the devil won that round, boys. What do you mean? We sang the song. Oh, yeah, but everybody in there knew they wasn't together. Why do they call the people in the preachers in the Old Testament, why do they call them seers? He can see. He can see stuff you don't want people to know. Amen. See, Jane, you got to pick it up, honey. I thought you was working on Amber. Good grief, I'm telling you what's the truth. All right, so Exodus chapter 33, and I want you to look at verse 13. Exodus chapter 33 and verse 13. Now therefore I pray thee, if I have found grace in thy sight, show me now any way, thy way, that I may know thee, that I may find grace in thy sight, and consider that this nation is thy people. And so Moses is making sure God knows who they are, who they belong to. Then in verse 14, probably my text would be this, verse 14. And he said, my presence shall go with thee, and I will give thee rest. That word rest is comfort. It's the same word in the Hebrew language is comfort. That's the word. Okay, so, and he said unto him, if thy presence go not with me. Now, this is very important. No, go not with me, carry us not up hence. Okay, if thy presence is not going to endow me this morning to speak heavenly words from God himself to a crowd of people who have ears to hear what God is trying to say to your heart. God is speaking this morning through me. Okay? Now, I'm not trying to be puffed up. That's scary. And I'm not talking about just for you. It's scary for me. Because if there's any help to be had, if there's any glory to come down, if anything transpired that needs to transpire from God, it'll have to be God. I'm trying to say, I know elegant preachers that God never showed up. I've seen podunk preachers where God did show up. Okay? One word from heaven, from him, is worth all a lifetime of speaking in my own flesh. I have nothing, people. I got nothing, Jeff. But I have a heavenly Father who has everything. He has it under control. He knows what he's doing. He knows where he's going. And I said this to Sunday school this morning. I don't know that I could ever, even in eternity future, understand the indwelling Spirit of God in my redeemed person. I cannot grasp that. Someone has said, if you don't believe in the Trinity, if you try to explain the Trinity, you'll go crazy. If you don't accept the Trinity, you go to hell. Nobody can explain that. Nobody can tell you that. I can't tell you. I can tell you that the Spirit of God indwells the believer. That's as far as I can go, Brother Bobby. But I know one thing for sure. There's power there. There's ability there. Man, I asked God this morning, God, I'm in a mess again. What are we going to do? I don't know what to say. I don't know what to do. I had some verses. Yes, I had that. The Word of God is alive and it's real and it's pertinent. And it's important. It's imperative. Amen. But I still have no explanation for that. Like I have no explanation for the indwelling Spirit of God in me. But I do know this. He said, where two or three gather together in my name, there will I be with them. You know what that means? Y'all know how picky I am about the auditorium, right? Amen. Everybody knows that. Ashley, smile every once in a while, honey. Thank you. Appreciate it. You say, why? Well, I always believe this. But one Saturday night before Easter Sunday, my wife had me to come over and check the Easter lily we'd put in the auditorium. And so put water in it if it needed it and whatever, you know. I came in and I turned these lights on right here. But I left all the rest of the lights off. And as I was walking down the aisle, I looked at that Easter lily and I saw the risen Christ. The Bible says He's a lily of the valley. And I collapsed right there. And I worshiped. And I blessed His name and I cried and I moaned. And I realized that He was in this place. Just me and Him. But I realized He was in this place. I don't like your chewing gum in here. I don't like your soda waters in here. I don't like any of that bunch of junk in here. Because why? Because He said He'd be here with us. If we can ever get just a little bit of a feel for what that means, He don't have to be here. In fact, the Bible talks about Ichabod's written over the door of a lot of Baptist churches. That means His Spirit has departed from this place. He's not here. He's not in place. I thank God He is here. I'm thanking God that He hadn't written that over the doors. I thank God that we still believe what we say we believe. We may not understand what we say we believe, but we still believe what we say that we believed. Y'all help me. I'm struggling. I'm having a hard time. God has so blessed me. I don't know how to address a lot of this. But it's through His presence. God's presence has to come. We might as well go to the Elks Club. We might as well go to some other group somewhere unless we realize. Now, when we get up this morning, did we all expect to meet Him in here? Was that the foremost thought of our thinking that God is going to be in this place? Does that mean that God wasn't with me over there when I was studying and praying? No, it doesn't mean that at all because He's everywhere all the time. But He's in this place. This is a special place. The priest took the offerings, which is not eternal, from the people as they brought their offerings. They killed the animal right there. They got the blood. They put it in a certain place. They cut the sacrifice up and put it in a certain place. They burned some, in some instances they ate it. But the priest would take their petition, their blood of that animal, and he would go to the holiest of holies. And he would go through those giant curtains. And he would bring that blood to God. And he had little bells on his garments at the bottom. And the people would listen and see if they could hear the little bell. If the bell didn't ring, it meant the priest was dead. And they had to pull him out. They couldn't go in and get him. They had to pull him back out. I'm talking about the holiness of God. I'm talking about what the Christian has in his life. We have everything under the sun down here physically without the Spirit of God. When we come to church, do we get excited about coming to this place and having an experience with Him? You say, I'm born again, I don't need an experience. You need an experience with Him every second of your life. You need power, you need help, man. And that's what the verse says here. The verse says, if you're not going to come and be with us, then we don't want to go. That's what it says. Verse 16 says, for wherein shall it be known here that I and thy people have found grace in thy sight? Oh, the grace of God that's available to us. How many times have I spit in his face, not recognizing his holiness and what he was and what he was trying to do in my life? When difficult days come, we turn to everybody and everything in the world but him. And there he stands with his arms outstretched to console us and help us. He said, it is not that found grace in thy sight, is it not in that thou goest with us? And so shall we be separated, I and thy people, from all the people that are on the face of the earth. That word separated stuck out to me. When I first started preaching, my pastor and most around, their idea was that we have to be separate. So we preached on how the women were dressed. We preached on how the men cut their hair. We preached on all those physical things, outward expressions. Your outward expression will be your inward, what's in you. But we badmouthed the Southern Baptists, and we badmouthed the other religion, and we went about our business of judging everybody in the world except living for Christ and believing that God, the great God of all the universe, was in us. We departed from the important things and went back to the temporal things. And that's in you. That nature's in you. It wants to do that. But there is a higher power that wants to direct our life and show us the way wherein we should walk. To do a great work so that somebody else can find the saving grace of God in their life. The world is so religious. And we're set on our pinnacle and we talk about everybody else that's not like us. I said one time, God help them. I'm thankful that's true. You judge yourself and you see yourself. And the Bible says if you do that, you'll never see that sin again. But if you do not confess that as sin, then you will see it again. Jesus corrected Peter because Peter compared himself with John. And Jesus said it very plain, very clear, what's that got to do with you? I would say today to most of us Christians, there's that something in us that wants to compare ourselves with other people and criticize them because they're not where we are. The littlest Christian in the kingdom of God is just as close to God as you are because he indwells him just like he indwells you. God is in a corrective mode in our life to help us see wherein to walk, what to do. I used this illustration this morning in Sunday school. It really spoke to my heart. I remember the boys was about 6 years old, maybe seven. We came down to visit Chris on the way to church on a Saturday evening. She fixed dinner for us. And she said, Daddy, I'm concerned about the boys. And I said, what's the matter, son, Chris? And she said, I caught them the other day out in the backyard, and they were fighting over a toy. And she said, you know, we used to shove and push and trip and all those things like that. But she said, those boys had their fists doubled up, and they were hitting one another right in the face and the nose and the mouth. She said, blood was everywhere. She said, I had to go pull them apart. And she said, I didn't know what to do. So after supper that night and all that, we got ready to leave and come home, and I took the boys outside, and I was loving on them and talking about it. They'd already forgot about it. And I said to Cody, what if Justin died tonight in the bed? What if he died? What would you do? Man, he went to crying. He said, Paul. I said, well, that's what you were doing today. You don't know if your little brother lived tomorrow. You don't know who'll live tomorrow. You don't know what's in the future. But there's a Heavenly Father that wants to direct and lead your life who does know. And we don't have enough confidence in him to do what he says. You excuse me, I've struggled with this for a long time. The precious Holy Spirit is given to us to direct our lives. Somebody said, boy, if God had just talked to me, I'd do what he says. He does all the time. You're not accustomed to hearing him. You're not accustomed to listening. When you get in the Bible and you open the pages of the Bible and you begin to read the Bible, he speaks to your heart. He will show you wherein to walk and how to walk. Oh, we got these sermonettes and all that stuff, and we figure out what the 3 points in the poem is and all. We got all that figured out except just letting God lead and direct our mouth and our thoughts. I said this morning to the Lord, you know how I foul everything up. Good grief. Looks like to me you'd just kill me and get me out of the way. I want God to rule in my life. I want God to rule in this church. I want God to control my children, my grandchildren. Some kid said to me one time, I'm glad I wasn't one of your grandchildren. I said, I'm glad you ain't either. Amen. They need to be told, no, you can't do that. You're not going to do that. By the way, I guess I was the only one besides Christine that ever whooped them boys. But I whooped them. They sashed their grandma. I beat the fire out of them. I'm serious. They're 16 years old. They sashed their grandma. You want to smart off to me? Go ahead. Don't talk that way to your grandma. I tell my grandchildren that now. Every once in a while, one of our children, Christine and Steve, will kind of raise up and get a little cocky, and I remind them, that's your mama. You know, the Bible has not changed. You're to honor your father and your mother. What does that mean? Till you're dead and gone. That's what it means. Honor your father and your mother. Why? Did I say that? Brother Billy said this. Brother Billy's telling you what the Bible says. One of the most powerful things Billy Graham ever did was he would say a statement and he said, now let me tell you what the Bible says. Your daddy, wild as a March hare, way back there, he'd call us 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning. I wouldn't even talk to him anymore. I quit talking to him. Glory'd say, honey, it's your brother. I said, I don't care. You have him. He said to me, why do you always bring up the Bible? It's the only thing that's ever helped me. It's the only thing that's ever changed my life for good. It's the only thing that's helped my family where we are today. It's the one that sustains us. We talk about Brother Bobby's sick. Man, he's sick. Don't have no energy. He has just as much life in him today as I do. He's going through things that I haven't gone there yet, but I'm going to tell you that doesn't mean he won't. I'm just trying to say to you, we have a Heavenly Father that knows where you are this morning. So I want to give you, best of my ability, a couple of points here. The first point is his presence tells you where you're at. I don't like to go to church because the preacher gets over and points his finger at me. It's not this finger that he's talking about. He's talking about the one digging around in here. That's not my finger. I can't get in there. I can be used of God to give forth the words, but the Holy Ghost is the one that sticks it in there and really gets it tangled up in there. You know what? I often wondered, I wonder if these people ever believe anything I tell them. When they go home, when I drive back to Milano, I drive to Goldthwait, do those people really living what I'm preaching? That's what it's all about, living what's preached out of the book. And the Lord so sweetly said to me, and he just said, don't worry about it. I'm going home with them. Amen? That's called conviction. Your spiritual life will dictate conviction. Now, I know some people don't like this, and preachers tell me, don't do this, Brother Billy, don't do this. Brother Patrick called me one day. That's that guy sitting right there behind Brother Pruitt. He said, Brother Billy, when you're thanking God, what name do you use? I said, all of them. He said, I don't know what to say. He said, I'm so blessed. He said, I want to make sure I say the right name. I said, man, just say them all, amen, as they come to your mind. Amen? They're all the same. We have to have those names for us, and they identify different things about Him, but it's all, amen, I love that. I love somebody that wants to know the best way to address His Savior. Amen. Most America only knows how to call His name in vain. Imagine this. You're in the desert. You've just come out of captivity for 400 years or more. There you are in the desert. God brought a cloud and a fire to guide those people in the desert. Can you imagine? We have all of these things on you. Somebody asked me the other day about my, what do they call that thing that tells you how to get one? They said, you got that. You just put the address in. I said, I don't know how to do it. You know, I mean, I don't know. Big old screen there, you know, like this, and the street red and all that stuff like this. And yet, God in the wilderness said, all you got to do is follow the cloud. Now, do you think God didn't really care? Their clothes for 40 years never wore out. Their shoes never wore out. They had plenty of water. They had plenty of food. They had plenty of everything, but they ignored the God that gave it to them. And God said, they will not go into the promised land. All those over 20 years of old are going to die in this wilderness just like they lived. Now, let me say, what does that got to do with us, Brother Billy? What it has to do with us today? In the day in which we live, you can follow Him or you can die in the wilderness. Now, these people were people that put the blood over the door lintels. The picture is there was salvation. They were delivered through the Red Sea. They were in the wilderness. And you're going to go out into the wilderness tomorrow. Now, you can follow His precepts or you can die in the wilderness. God is mean. No, God's not mean. He is so gracious and so loving and so caring. So it brings instruction how to get from A to Z. You got problems? If you don't, you're very special. God has the directions. And then His presence does something else. It gives us rest. The Bible says it in verse 14. Notice what it says, and I will give thee rest. The word is comfort. You don't have to go to bed at night worrying about all that junk you're worried about. My wife says, what are we going to do next Friday? I said, Gloria, please give me a break. I'm tired of listening to you try to explain stuff. Every day with Jesus is sweeter than the day before, and it is a new day in Him, in His love. We don't need to know all that stuff. Worry. Well, I tell my wife on a regular basis, that's sin. You're not trusting God, honey. Well, then every once in a while I'll do something. I said, what am I going to do with that cow? You know, worry. We all have it in us. But I'm telling you, there's a God in heaven even abiding in your bosom that can give you comfort and rest. Amen. I sold some calves not long ago, about 3 or 4 months ago. Trying to pick out a good time to get the best price. You know, you got to keep trying. And so I was worried that the price would go down when mine came in and everything. But I was sitting there and God said, who gave you all that stuff? I don't bring that stuff into it, okay? I work hard at that. Just rest in me. I said, bless God, I believe it will. Did you know, for the first time, maybe another time or two, but one of the first times ever, we made the livestock journal on the calves that brought the highest price at the sale that week. Now God knew what was in my heart to start with. But that could have been an average mediocre. Our cows are not average. They're not super duvers. But they made the newspaper. These are the highest calves sold this week at the Jordan Cattle Company in San Saba, Texas. I said, bless the Lord. You know what? One of these days all that'll burn up. He keeps stressing in my own heart and my own desire. there's a comfort and there's a rest. That's what he said they could not have because they wouldn't be obedient to his command. And the same thing applies there. Then his presence also brings joy. Now you're not going to believe this. Probably some of you probably not going to. I believe some of you might. I don't know of any place in the world I'd rather be than here today. You say, why? Because of me? No, not because of you, because of him. I can walk in this place and I can feel his presence. And I can know he's watched me now entering my prayer. I said, God, I don't want to go over this morning. How come preachers don't get sick time? I can feel rotten as a rotten egg, but I feel like I got to be in this place. That's exactly what Brother Bobby did a while ago. There's something that God is able to put in us. We can't help ourselves. Why do you get up there and holler? Why do you do all this stuff? I can't help it. If I was to hold it back, I'd blow up. He brings joy in my life. I don't know of anybody in the world that I'd change with. I wouldn't change with him because I have him. He satisfies. And then lastly, when he's here, we have great power. In John chapter 25, verse 11, we find the resurrection where Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead. And his disciples said, Lord, he's been dead 4 days. One disciple said, well, he's doing good. He's sleeping. And Jesus said, shall I show you a lesson this morning? That's what I need. I know what the Bible says, but I need to see it in real. And what the disciples do, they went there and Jesus wept. Jesus wept. He's going to raise Lazarus from the dead, and he wept because he saw the people. He saw the heartache, the trouble, the difficulty. You think God don't know where you're at? You think that God doesn't know what you're going through physically and spiritually and every other way? He does. Jesus called Lazarus from the grave, and he come up out of that grave. I heard somebody say he hopped. He didn't hop, didn't walk, didn't. I mean, he just appeared from the grave right in the front of Jesus. And Jesus said, cut him loose and let him go free. Wrapped up like a mummy. Let me say something to you people. You may not like this, and I don't really care about that because it's God's word. When he's here, there's power. And when he's not, there ain't. We could have somebody that you've dreamed of hearing or preaching or singing or whatever. You can have them up here, but without him, they are absolutely, positively nothing. But when somebody stands because of the love of Christ that dwelleth in them and preaches or sings or whatever he does, for the glory of God, there's power. It'll stir your heart. You can't get away from it. You can't get away from it when he's here. And he will give you all things. You say, well, I'm poor. I don't have no money. I'll have this and that. Listen to me. Watch me close and I'll close. I know this scares people. But I'm going to rule and reign with Jesus Christ for 1,000 years on this earth right here. This one right here. The one you're sitting on right here. For 1,000 years. But it'll be sweet to me. Amen. You say, well, you're just being puffed up. You're just being smart-alecky. I'm not being smart-alecky. Literally, I will serve the Lord Jesus for 1,000 years in which he said we will reign this earth. Daniel gives the time of our age. Daniel tells it. And he says that his government, Brother Pruitt, will smash all governments and he will rule with a rod of iron. Amen. I'm going to close with this. I hope you see just a little of the glory of his presence. if you could just get a glimpse. I've gone nuts over sunsets. I don't do much in the mornings. I don't see many sunrises. But in the evenings, I work till dark. And I'll be down at the barn or something, and all of a sudden, I look out into the western sky. And I say, oh, my God. Oh, my God, look at that. Can anything be more beautiful than that? Yes, the one that painted it. Yeah. I hope he's your Lord. I hope you have the peace, the joy, and the power that only he can give. Amen. Let's stand. Miss Marvel's going to play just a verse or two. I would say this, whatever he says, just do it. However he leads, just do it. I'm not sure about being saved. That's something you need to be sure about. I know there's sin in my life. I need to take you with these altars are down here. Do you pray for your preacher this morning? Did you pray for him this week sometime? Did you pray for your little church? Did you let everything in the world get in the way? The most powerful thing on the face of the earth is prayer. Let me extend that just a little further. Believe in prayer. See, I believe this morning when I prayed that prayer, I believe God had helped me. And I'm going to tell you something. He may not have helped you, but he sure helped me. And that's what I'm talking about. Believing prayer works. God